Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. In 2016, BMW will be 100 years old. A clear testimony to our company's ability to evolve and grow. It's a true milestone as we continue our success story. We will keep acting with foresight and a long-term global perspective in mind, as our investors expect of us. In the first quarter of 2012, we managed to build further on our successful business performance of the 2011 fiscal year. In terms of sales, it was the most successful first quarter ever for the BMW Group, with a total of over 425,000 cars sold worldwide. It was the most successful first quarter ever for our three automotive brands, BMW Mini and Rolls-Royce, as well as for BMW Motorrad. It was also the best first quarter ever with regard to our pre-tax result on a group level, which stands at €2 billion. We recorded an EBIT margin in the automotive segment of 11.6%. We continue to benefit from the decisions we made as part of our strategy number one back in 2007, and today we are clearly looking far ahead again. In 2016, we aim to sell over 2 million cars. We also aim to generate sustainable profits long term. This means a goal to achieve an EBIT margin in the automotive segment in the range of 8 to 10% over the long term. By the way, almost no other car company has managed to achieve this performance over a longer period of time. And for the year 2020, our vision remains clear to be the leading provider of premium products and premium services for individual mobility. In order to meet these goals, we have to make large-scale investments now in new technologies, in training our staff successfully, and all our German and global facilities. What are our expectations for the year 2012? We are targeting a new sales record for the group, new all-time highs for our three car brands, and a new record pre-tax result on the group level. These targets, however, are based on the assumption that the economic and financial conditions will remain largely stable. Nobody can forecast how the financial systems and consumer demand will develop, given the high level of public debt in various countries. Also, the economic strength in individual southern European markets may weaken further. Ladies and gentlemen, but one thing is true. There continue to be opportunities for future growth in the premium car market. Demand for our young and attractive model portfolio remains strong, with customers all around the world. Our segment leaders are the BMW 1 Series and the X1, the new BMW 3 Series Sedan. Even with the model change in the first quarter of 2012, the BMW 3 Series Convertible, the BMW 5 Series, the BMW X5 and the BMW 6 Series. By summer, BMW and Mini will have introduced further new models and variants. Let me give you a few examples. Since this March saw the launch of the next member of the Mini family, the Mini Roadster. Next will be the BMW 6 Series Grand Coupe in June. It's the first four-door coupe made by BMW. The model update of the BMW 7 Series will arrive at the dealerships in July, and one of the highlights in the second half of the year will be the revised Phantom Series 2 at Rolls-Royce. And this fall, we will launch the BMW X1 in the US as well. Ladies and gentlemen, the development of global car markets varies from region to region. In many markets, we were able to record double-digit growth in the first quarter. This is especially true for larger regions such as North America, with an almost 70% increase, and Asia, with a 32% increase. This strong performance allows us to compensate for the decrease in demand we are currently experiencing in some countries in Southern Europe, which have been especially affected by the financial crisis. Thanks to our flexible production network and a wide range of models, we react quickly and efficiently to changing market demands. It is for this very reason that we continue to strive for balanced growth across the globe. In the first quarter of 2012, the BMW Group's largest individual markets of Germany, the US and China were fairly balanced. In absolute terms, China was our best performing market in the first quarter, for the first time, ahead of the US and Germany. The premium segment in China will continue to offer positive growth opportunities. However, customers and mainly Chinese authorities are setting specific requirements for the car industry in China. We will continue to align our production, our products and new technologies to meet these requirements. In mid-May, Our new plant in Tiexi will open at the Beijing Motor Show. The BMW 3 Series long wheelbase version for Chinese customers celebrated its world premiere. And we will bring BMW brand e-cars to China and develop a specific offering for the Chinese market in cooperation with our partner Brilliance. Political regulations around the world affecting the automotive industry remain on the agenda. Specifics vary from country to country. In China, the government is strongly pushing for electrification. In the US, the government has established CO2 emission targets for 2025. E-cars will be receiving credits. They will be factored in several times when calculating a brand's fleet average. In Europe, the EU Commission will decide this summer about a European fleet average of 95 grams of CO2 per kilometer as the target for 2020. At present, e-cars in the EU also receive a so-called super credit. However, this bonus is supposed to expire in 2015, which would prove, in our opinion, very challenging. In order to meet the ambitious CO2 emission targets, we are consistently pursuing the development of future technologies. Our goal for 2020 is to reduce our fleet CO2 emissions by 50% compared with the mid-1990s. So, what steps are we taking? We continue to invest in efficient dynamics as well as in plug-in hybrids and the e-cars. We have signed a cooperation agreement with Toyota Motor Corporation. Together, we want to take the lithium-ion battery technology to the next level. The carbon fiber for the BMW i family is produced in our new hydroelectric-powered plant in Washington State. We are producing car body parts from this carbon fiber as well as components for the e-drive in Bavaria. We will then build our e-cars in Leipzig. That way, we strengthen Germany's position in the fields of industrializing e-mobility and lightweight construction. At the same time, we're preparing our staff for the challenges ahead. In the past 12 months alone, we have trained more than 1,000 employees from apprentices to engineers in the field of e-mobility at our new training center in Munich. We are facing a variety of different issues, such as political regulation, diverse market conditions, demographic change, shortage of specialists, new mobility services, the value shift in our society, and new demands from upcoming generations. Our strategy is clearly focused on addressing these challenges. As an independent company, all our efforts are clearly geared towards remaining the leader in the premium segment. Thanks to our experience in positioning premium brands, we will continue to grow the strength of our three brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce. We will act with foresight and maintain a long-term global approach. Thank you for your attention. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. Now, Dr. Eichiner. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you good morning as well. Our quarterly results with new sales, revenue, and earnings records are once again clear evidence of our operating and financial strength. The credit rating agency Standard & Poor's upgraded our rating in April, based on our positive business development and solid financial position. This gives us the best credit rating of all European car manufacturers. The BMW Group's quarterly earnings before taxes improved year-on-year to 2.076 billion euros, an increase of 21.8%. Our group EBIT margin before tax was 11.3%. A change in accounting in our 2011 group financial statements has also resulted in a restatement of certain figures for the individual quarters of 2011. The change concerns the evaluation of products leased through BMW Financial Services. The adjusted 2011 figures are identified in the quarterly report. The quarterly adjustments for the whole of the year 2011 can be found under Note 3. Now first, let's take a look at the automotive segment. Demand for our three premium brands was positively high in the first quarter. We delivered more than 425,000 BMW, MINI and Rolls-Royce vehicles for revenues of 16.16 billion euros in this segment, which is an increase of 12.4% year-on-year. We saw dynamic sales growth in China and the United States in particular, as well as in many emerging markets in Asia and Latin America. However, the situation has become less favorable in a number of southern European markets, and competitive pressure has increased. D-segment EBIT for the first quarter totaled just under €1.88 billion. This is an increase of 10% over the same period last year. The result of sales growth and the still high-value product mix. The EBIT margin in the automotive segment remained at roughly the same level as last year, at 11.6%. As previously announced, our upfront investments in future projects and expenditure for research and development were higher than in the first quarter of 2011. The total amount here was in the low three-digit millions. We are taking advantage of our earnings power to make targeted investments. Our development spending on lightweight construction and alternative drive technologies will secure us a stronger market position in the future. Our vehicles will need to become even more efficient to meet stricter CO2 standards worldwide. Over the full year, this will result in additional expenditure between €800 million and €1 billion. Inventories increased by more than €1.2 billion in the first quarter of 2012 at the cutoff date. This is essentially due to the global market launch of the 3 Series sedan and sales growth in our overseas market. As previously anticipated, we expect a burden from pricing due to the 3 Series sedan model changeover throughout the first half of the year, mainly because not all new models are available yet in the overseas markets. The segment's dynamic operating performance generated a strong operating cash flow and a free cash flow of €1.635 billion. We expect this positive trend to continue throughout the rest of the year, and we're targeting a free cash flow of more than €3 billion. The positive development also had a positive impact on group liquidity. We have a strong liquidity basis and are in a good position to cope with potential volatility. As per March 31st, group liquidity totaled €12 billion. Net financial assets in the automotive segment amounted to €13.9 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment also benefited from our sales growth. We concluded almost 306,000 leasing and financing contracts with retail customers in the first quarter. This represents a 10.5% increase over the same period last year. At the end of the first quarter, the total number of contracts in place reached 3.65 million. This also includes ING car lease contracts. Our business also profited from attractive financing conditions. The segment generated a pre-tax profit of €434 million in the first quarter. This includes a positive one-off effect in the amount of €43 million from end-of-lease business. Earnings were therefore slightly higher year-on-year. The financial services segment provided leasing or financing for 38.2% of new BMW Group vehicles in the first quarter. This rate is slightly lower than last year due to China's rapidly growing share of sales and the fact the penetration rate is still relatively low in the Chinese market. The risk situation developed as expected in the first quarter. Used car prices remained stable in the US and Germany. The price situation decreased slightly in the US, in the UK. Used car prices fell in the southern European markets, and we also see potential risks here for the months ahead. Overall, we expect market development to be uneven and more volatile. The credit risks for the financial services segment remained stable in the first quarter. However, individual market performance is likely to vary over the coming months. The integration of ING car lease has made the BMW Group one of Europe's leading fleet service providers. We will be expanding our market position through new offerings. Our fleet management company, Alphabet, won the first major corporate customers for its Alpha City innovative mobility solution in the first quarter. New telematics solutions and accounting systems will allow companies to loan their fleet vehicles to employees for private use and optimize their fleet utilization. This new form of car sharing will open up new growth opportunities for Alphabet's mobility services. We remain confident overall about the prospects for our financial services business. BMW Financial Services continues to benefit from strong growth in the premium segment. Our excellent position is due to adopting more conservative residual values during the financial and economic crisis, the currently lower total volume of off-lease vehicles, and our healthy level of risk provision. In the motorcycle segment, first quarter sales rose by almost 8% to more than 27,000 units. Growth in Brazil, the US, and Germany more than offset the decline in sales in individual European markets. Segment revenues climbed 12.8% to 448 million euros in the first 3 months. At the end of the quarter, EBIT totaled 37 million euros and was therefore 19.4% higher year on year. With its attractive model lineup, the motorcycle segment can expect to make further sales gains in a shrinking total market. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group will continue its successful course in the second half of the year. We expect the positive trend in sales to continue thanks to the new 3 Series sedan and the 6 Series Grand Coupe, the updated 7 Series sedan, and other new models. However, we are well aware of the uncertainties in the market. We are responding to competitive pressure in Europe with an attractive product lineup. Nevertheless, increased competition could have an adverse impact on pricing in specific markets. A number of growth markets are characterized by market regulating measures such as import duties and special taxes. At the same time, we are taking the necessary steps in preparation for stricter CO2 taxation. Current uncertainties make it more difficult to predict business developments accurately. We remain cautiously optimistic, therefore, and continue to make sustained profitable growth and a sound financial position our priority. We are maintaining our guidance and expect all three brands to achieve record sales. Assuming the global situation does not deteriorate, we forecast record earnings at group level and in the automotive segment as announced in March. The EBIT margin for the automotive segment is likely to be at the high end of our 8 to 10% target range. We remain on course and consistently pursue our goals. We are monitoring economic conditions so that we can respond flexibly to volatility. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be happy to take your questions. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Aichina, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. We've now got time to take your questions. I'd like to ask the colleagues now to give you the necessary technical information for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall now begin with our Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please press the keys 0 and 1. You will then be given the opportunity to ask your questions. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker, I'd like to ask you to use the receiver to ask your questions. A moment for the first question, please. The first question is from Stefan Koenig, Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, Mr. Koenig. Good morning. I've got two questions. Despite the good results in the first quarter, the EBIT margin in the automotive segment is declining 11.9 to 11.6. So what was the main reason for this? And to you, Mr. Aichina, you mentioned that there could be further burden for the market launch of the 3 Series sedan in the first half of the year. Could you specify what burdens you were talking about? And if you can, is the burden in the ongoing second quarter higher than in the first quarter? Thank you, Mr. Koenig. Providing that you agree, I pass both questions to Dr. Aichina, please. Well, there are burdens that we'd already anticipated. We're beginning a phase of upfront investments, 800 million to 1 billion, we said that would be. And if you look at increased upfront investment into research and development and marketing due to the launch of the 3 series, it is clear that there is a burden. But all this was planned for. What was not planned and what is owed to the economic development in Europe mainly are burdens coming from pricing. Here we believe that there were about 50 base points of the deterioration that we had to accept. We were able to compensate or offset some of it due to the positive development in the US and in Asia, but these are the main effects that have led to a slight change of the margin. The second question, further burdens in connection with the 3 series Sedan. Well, right now we're in some sort of a transition phase, and especially in the overseas markets, there's still vehicles of the previous model that need to be sold. And the launch throughout all derivatives will, of course, take the whole year. The four-wheel drive vehicles for important markets such as the U.S., for example, they will be coming a little later, but they're very important there for the entire business at the East Coast. This is why older cars of the previous model still need to be put on the market, and that always has a certain influence on the market. That's a known fact, and that's something, of course, we also have to take into account or have taken into account in our planning. But over the second half of the year, this will slowly fade out so that gradually we'll profit more from the newly launched cars. Thank you. Next question, please. Next question is from Mr. Gabriel Wirth, Bayerischer Rundfunk. Please speak now. Good morning. I have 3 questions. We've heard that in China, meanwhile, it's not that easy to sell cars anymore. You also have to grant discounts. My question is, how does that affect you? Second question is the strikes of IG Metall, the trade union, that are taking place today. What do you say about that? And third question, did I understand you correctly to say that you're expecting to give greater discounts in some southern European countries due to the economic situation there? Thank you. Good, Mr. Witt. Thank you. Mr. Eichner will begin, and then Mr. Reithofer. Well, your question about discounts in China. Well, in the premium segment, there's still positive demand. In fact, we cannot even sufficiently meet demand for individual models. That's why we don't see reason to start into a discount battle across the country. We will try and prevent that. In fact, there are individual models. If you're talking about the phase out of the old 3 series, for example, after the new one's already been announced, then of course you will give a little bit of support in order to facilitate the transition to the new vehicle, and to be able to manage this in a consistent way. And what you were able to read in newspapers in the first quarter was there was price competition in the upper class segment for our competitors from Stuttgart. But as I said, in general and on average, we don't see any change or deterioration here. Now, pricing in Southeast Europe, just to give you an idea, we do find that markets such as Spain and Italy have deteriorated in terms of sales. Now, if you look at the sales volume before the financial crisis in 2007 and compare that to today, then you've halved these markets. And this obviously results in quite some pressure, especially in competition with our rivals, and only consistently, you tend to give more discounts. But we've already reached a level right now where we believe we can't go down any further. And now we're also profiting from the launch of the new 3 series, which is very important for these markets. However, and we had indicated that in our speeches, we do not see the end of this development on these markets yet. It's a little too early, perhaps. So there is still a certain degree of uncertainty. Third part of your question, Mr. Wirth, IG Metall, the trade union, and the warning strikes, Dr. Reithofer. Well, Mr. Wirth, we are not concerned because of the warning strikes that have been announced. This is part of collective bargaining, and it's normal. And as you know, the bargaining in this case is conducted by our representatives. We don't have our own house tariff. Of course, we lose in production due to those warning strikes, and we have to now consider how we can catch up. As you can imagine, the 3 Series sedan, the new model, is very much in demand right now, and of course we need to catch up producing these. But from my point of view, I mean, we were expecting those warning strikes, and we are not really concerned. Thank you. Next question, please. Next question, Mr. Thomas Fromm, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Good morning, Thomas Fromm. I've got 3 questions. In connection with the warning strikes, Mr. Reithofer, most recently various people approached you because you had a high number of temp workers. My question is, will the rate or the quota of temp workers remain, or will you reduce their number? And if so, how will you do that? Second question, especially in China, there were increased doubts about a quick introduction of e-mobility. Will you stick to your plan for 2013, E3, E8? And then you mentioned a cooperation with Toyota at the moment. Is there any further cooperation that you're planning? I remember there was something about a fuel cell alliance with General Motors in the pipeline. What else have you got in the pipeline for the next years? Thank you, Mr. Fromm. I give all 3 questions to Mr. Reithofer. Mr. Fromm, let me begin with E3 and E8. Yes, we've got our schedule set, and we will follow it the way we've announced it. That means the BMW E3 will come at the end of 2013. It will be placed on the market, and the BMW E8 will have its launch in 2014, beginning 2014. And we still think that the 2 cars are the right thing to do. If you just bear in mind the new regulation that will be coming in Europe with the 95 gram CO2, and then the goal in the US for 2025, where an E3 would be a zero emission vehicle, which would give this car even greater significance than China. I don't see a reversal of the trend in terms of electromobility there. No, on the contrary, if I look at the first publications for the new regulations for 2015, these in fact confirm that we're on the right track. At the moment, I can safely say we're on the right track and the schedule for E3 and E8 is on track. Now I'd like to talk or mention your question, the warning strikes, temp workers and so on. Let me tell you, currently we have an agreement with our employee representatives concerning the entire flexibility of the company and the flexibilization instruments. And we're working, we don't have the agreement yet, but we're working on it. So we are negotiating with our Works Council members at the moment, and we are trying to find a common solution. And BMW is known that they've always been able to find joint solutions with their employees. However, I must say these are talks that have not been concluded yet, and you will understand that I cannot give information about the details. One other aspect, perhaps. These are not related to the trade union's demands in the ongoing collective bargaining agreement negotiations. So what will this be about, temp workers? No, this is about the total flexibility of the company, and temp workers are, of course, a part of it, but only one part. It's about the total flexibility of the company. Then Toyota. Further corporations? I think we're a medium-sized manufacturer. Being that, we always wonder who are good cooperation partners for issues we'll be facing in the future. We saw that Toyota has great know-how in lithium-ion technology, and we see Toyota as a strong partner. I mean, we ourselves are a strong partner. So we're 2 good partners together, and We think it's good that we entered into this cooperation. I can confirm we are talking with Shanghai Motors. However, these talks have not been concluded yet, and therefore I don't want to give any detailed information. There are no further cooperation partners in the pipeline at this stage. Next question, please. Sebastian Rabe from Deutsche Presseagentur. Good morning. I have three questions. One is about the sale of engines. Is there a new status in terms of carbon motors since Saab didn't work out? This would be the second case where such a sale wouldn't work out. And what would that mean for the strategy of being on the market as an engine supplier? Perhaps there's further partners on the horizon, or will you bury your hopes to extend that segment in the years to come? Second question, back to the warning strikes and the negotiations about the temp worker. Is it true that the share of temp workers at BMW is 11,000 people in Germany? That's the number that IG Metall, the trade union, always mentions. And the second is, do you believe that the demands, the wage increases of trade union are justified? Because we believe that BMW can afford it, as we can see by the figures you announced today. Thank you, Mr. Rabe. Please understand also all other colleagues concerning everything has been said about the warning strikes, the temp workers, and the wage demands. We will not comment on this any further. Mr. Reithofer has already said what needs to be said. We won't go into detail. Please understand. The engines, Mr. Reithofer, I'll give you that to answer. Well, about the engines, you mentioned carbon motors. All I can say is that the financial repercussions of the lifting of the supply obligation with carbon motors are insignificant. And do we, you know, is that, does that continue to be a business segment, development of engines? Then, well, we have made an agreement with Toyota. The agreement is such a round package that the agreement as such is a confirmation of the fact that it is right to also concentrate on the sale of engines. Of course, not everything goes smoothly, that's a fact, but if I consider what we still have down the pipeline, I'm quite satisfied. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rabe. Next question. Next question by Frau Preisinger from Reuters. I'd like to know, what's the situation in, with respect to your plant in Brazil? Have you made any progress, or are you beginning to say goodbye to that idea? And then could you tell us, where are the efficiency improvements, or where do they come from in the first quarter? And in the recalls, we had a few of them. Is this the price you pay for your reuse parts strategy? Well, I believe we'll begin with Dr. Reichhofer about Brazil and then efficiency. Well, if I look at our plan for the plant in Brazil, I can tell you such plans are not independent of regulations in place in these individual countries. And what we've done, well, we put this project on hold. We wanted to wait and see how the publication of the industrial government on the political framework conditions regarding new settlement of local production in automotive sector until 2017 looks like. You will understand, when we began planning the plant, there was no IPE, there was no new turnover tax in Brazil, but now we're facing a new situation. And before we invest into a capacity, you have to have a close look at what does that mean for the economic viability of the capacity in that country. Currently, we're analyzing and we have to evaluate the effects of the new regulations in Brazil on our business. And only after we have properly analyzed this will we know whether it is still economically sensible to build a plant in Brazil. Because if you build a plant somewhere, it cannot perhaps be a win for the country. It's also got to be a win for the automobile manufacturer. And that's the clear message. We will only go into a country if it makes sense for us economically, as I said. And now we have to analyze a couple of things, look at a couple of things, and then we'll see. As far as this decision is concerned. But at the moment, let me tell you, we're on a good path ahead. It's looking good. Then you mentioned the recall. Well, the way we do it is we say safety of our customers is a top priority. And a second thing, let me tell you, we're not reducing the quality of our products, and primarily this has nothing to do with our strategy of reusing components of our modular components. And we must say these are voluntary campaigns of manufacturers, and what is to the fore is the safety of our customers. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. Dr. Eichiner, about efficiency. Well, efficiency improvements will be coming gradually with the introduction of the new cars, the 1 Series and the 3 Series. We've communicated that several times. Compared to the predecessor models, we have much better cost structures, fewer one-off expenses, lower manufacturing costs, and we will benefit from this now for the entire year. This will add up to a three-digit million amount, and this will develop in accordance with the ramp-up curve of these cars. Next question, please. Another question comes from Christian Hetzner, Reuters Nachrichten. Please speak now. Good morning, everyone. I have a question about the outlook. You're still assuming that the EBIT margin in the automotive segment will be at the upper end of the range. Now, is this just conservative planning, or do you truly see risks due to which the performance could deteriorate in the second half of the year? Now, if that question, if you'd still care to answer that, in terms of cooperation, is there any news about your alliance with PSA now after you entered the strategic alliance with GM? Will you perhaps no longer pursue the other cooperation in the future? And I wanted to know, and this is about Europe and the US, now that China has become the greatest or largest individual market for BMW, do you still expect long-term growth in the premium market segment in the developed markets? And perhaps due to the spread in society, the fact that some become richer and the others become poorer, and there's an increasing gap now. As a premium manufacturer, can you still benefit from this demographic and income trend, or is it in the long run that the markets in Europe and US are saturated also for premium manufacturers? Thank you, Mr. Hetzner. I'd say we start with the outlook, the EBIT margin, Dr. Eichiner, and then the two other questions, PSA and Europe-US, Dr. Reithofer. Dr. Eichiner, please. Well, let me state, if we're saying today we're seeing ourselves at the upper range of the year, at the upper end of the range, that's not pessimistic. I'd say that's carefully optimistic. But whether it's a percentage point more or less, I believe after 3 months, that's a little early. We expressed our careful optimism. I believe the first quarter confirmed it. But at the same time, we're seeing risks as well, risks that are already mentioned, developments in Europe. At the moment, this is very hard to foresee. Will the development continue, like the negative development in Southern Europe? We have taken that into account, but perhaps this is a development that will spill over to the larger markets, such as the UK and Germany. We don't exactly know that, so we see no reason to change our guidance as we've given it now in March. We have made our position clear, and we need 1 or 2 more months in order to see how these markets develop. And after the second quarter, I think we can be more clear about what it will look like at the end of the year. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. Let's perhaps back to your question, Mr. Hetzner, about the individual markets and whether premium we continue to be a good business model. If we're looking at a period from now to 2020, the forecasts are like this. Premium can expect higher growth rates than mass products. So this is very well in line with our business model. If you drill down a little further, and if you look at the lower competitive classes, cars like the BMW 1 Series or other cars in that segment, we must say that here we're forecasting growth rates of between 4 and 6% on an honest basis. So premium will extend down. And it's not just BMW 7, 6, 5 Series, but it's also the BMW 1 and the Mini. And this, of course, they will mainly grow in the large market of the European Union, not only there, but also in the US, but mainly in the European Union. So looking the long-term perspective and not the short-term and the debt crisis in Europe, then this is, in fact, very well in line with everything. Now, taking a short-term look, if I take Europe after 4 months and if I look at the last forecast in April and I summarize the first 4 months, then we had countries in Europe which in the first 4 months where BMW Mini grew by more than 20%, and I'm talking about Europe here. And on the other hand, I had countries that shrunk by 35%, where sales decreased. And I have many countries between that. There's minus 7 to plus 10%. So Europe is very diverse. Not only negatively, there's positive and less positive markets in Europe. Mr. Eichner already emphasized, if I go into growth markets, and we include into those Malaysia, Thailand, South Korea, and so on, then I'm talking about almost always two-digit growth rates over the past few months, and perhaps including what we know about April from our forecast. So what our plan was to grow sustainably, and I think we managed to do that. Now your question about the alliance for General Motors, PSA, what does that mean for BMW? Please understand that we want to sort it out with our partner BSA first. Currently, it is much too early to make an assessment as to what that means for us. Please understand, that's all I can say at this point. Thank you. Next question, please. Next question, Mr. Merkel Reitker, Plato Prisk. Good morning, Reitker. I've got three questions. Mr. Reithofer, you said BMW is to sell 2 billion vehicles in 2016. This is probably 80 to 90 billion euros of turnover or revenues. This is a magnitude where you wonder whether the structure, the in-house structure, needs to be adjusted. You've got a functionally structured board of management at the moment. Do you see any need for change as concerns the structure and organization of the group? Second question, corporations have already been mentioned. At the moment, it looks as if in the automotive industry, everybody is able to cooperate with everybody. As a result, some of these corporations may not be quite satisfactory. Is this a strategy that you want to pursue in the future, or could you envisage other strategies? For example, as in SGL Carbon, in that case, that you in fact sell shares in companies that develop products or technologies. And my last question, Mr. Eichner, perhaps, the 12 billion liquidity, you said you want to be prepared for eventualities. What are these? I'm asking, or for contingencies, what's the worst case scenario you have in mind so that you need such great liquidity? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Reipka. Let's begin with Dr. Reithofer and then liquidity, 12 billion, Dr. Eichner. Dr. Reithofer, please. Well, my answer to your question as to whether we are able to adjust our structure if necessary.
Dinge umzubauen und anders zu tun.
If we're able to restructure things, if we're able to do things differently than we've done them in the past, well, if you look at the restructuring of our board of management that we recently announced, then this showed you that we are capable of change within the BMW Group. And if you consider that due to the restructuring of the board of management, the BMW brand is now much more to the fore, and as we have direct responsibility of board members, of a board member for MINI, and that we're separating the brands more strongly, and this is how we want to work in the future, then you will see that it's not only that we're able to run a functional organization. We're also looking at new models. We will also be working with new structural models. But let me say at this stage, BMW is actually a one-product company, and in fact, a functional organization is not all that bad in view of this. Even if you talk to consultants, external consultants, which occasionally have a look at company together with us, and they confirm this. We said the restructuring of the board of management that we've just performed shows that we are capable of introducing change. Now your question about corporations, you said in automotive industry everybody cooperates with everyone. We cannot say that for BMW. We do not cooperate with everyone. If you look at the talks we had with Toyota concerning the sale of diesel engines in Europe, concerning cooperation in the field of lithium ion batteries, and perhaps also other things we might do together. Here, two strong partners cooperate with each other. That's how we see it. I already answered that question before. We now need to have a look at what that means for our electrification joint venture with PSA in view of the fact that a third partner has entered the stage. We need to take your time here to be able to take reasonable decisions. Now let's have a look at 3 years ago. We started a purchasing cooperation with Mercedes, which meanwhile gives us nice profit on both sides. And these are things that we develop, and there are also things that don't work as well as we had originally anticipated, and we need to end them. Dr. Eichner, about the liquidity. I think the financial crisis, 2008, we saw how quickly markets can respond, how quickly access to liquidity can become critical, and I believe we know, given the current volatility, a similar situation could arise again, and this is what we want to be prepared for. And secondly, our rating also demands that we have a liquidity buffer for exactly cases like that. And taken in all, we need a liquidity of around 10 billion. We've got 12 at the moment, and there's a valid reason for it. We are facing certain dues in the second quarter. We made use of the favorable conditions in the first quarter in order to make provisions already, in order to be prepared. And in a month to come, you will again see our liquidity to be on target. Thank you. Next question, please. Let me remind you, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. Next question. Chris Bryan, Financial Times. Hello, gentlemen. I've got some questions. First one, do you feel any slowing down in the Chinese market at the moment? Second question, the annual forecast and the margin range. Some analysts have their doubts whether the pre-tax result can increase while the margin goes down. Can you explain how that could be possible? And third question about Brazil and the plant in Brazil. Does that mean if the new tax in Brazil remains that you will not build a plant there? And do you have a different country in mind for building that plant? We'll begin with Dr. Reithofer. Again, Brazil. No, it doesn't mean that. At the moment, there is a new regulation, the been enacted, and we are about to evaluate this regulation just to find out what it means for us. Is it still in the interest of the country and the company? Is this a win-win situation? We are on a good track at the moment. I said that before, and that's all I want to say about it. I mean, we did pick out Brazil as a location in South America, and we're not really considering alternative locations. We really have to assess what the new regulation means for us. What does it mean for the economic viability of building a plant there? And once we know, we'll take a decision. Now, looking at the Chinese market, Chinese car market, according to estimates, in 2012 will grow by 8% to 13.2 million units. I'm talking about cars. And the forecast is that in 2012, growth will be slightly lower than previously, but it will still, of course, be much higher than in other industrial nations. Looking at BMW and the first 4 months, if I include April, currently, a slowing of our growth is not discernible. We will grow with two-digit growth rates in China in 2012. One question was still unanswered with regard to the margin corridor. Dr. Eichner, our guidance expresses our strength and confidence. We're again striving for a very successful business year, but it's too early at this stage to be overly optimistic due to the volatile developments all around us, but by saying at the upper end of the range, we have already given guidance. After 3 months, you cannot expect us to mathematically or arithmetically calculate this down to 50 base points. Let's just wait and see what happens in the next weeks and months, and then we can also be more specific. It's simply too early now. Thank you. Next question, please. The last question is by Chris Ryder from Bloomberg. Hello. Dr. Reithofer, you said there's bad corporations that you need to terminate. Are there any corporations of that kind, anything you'd like to terminate at BMW? And then a couple of times you spoke about sales figures for 4 months, for the first 4 months. Can you tell us something about them? How did it go on a group level or on a brand level or sales for the first 4 months of the year or April specifically? Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Reithofer. Well, I take your last question first. According to our most recent forecast, on a group level, including all brands, it's greater than 6%, and BMW brand is doing better. This goes towards greater than 7% in April. As I said, the group level, April, greater 6%, and the BMW brand, greater 7%. I can't tell you how concrete that is, but we need to wait until we have all markets. It takes about a week after the monthly closing. Corporations? No, we're not about to terminate anything at the moment. All I wanted to say is if we find that something goes wrong, then we are able to terminate it. But at the moment, there's nothing like this in the pipeline. Thank you. As far as I've understood, there are no further questions right now. Is that correct? There are no further questions. Okay. It's 5 to 11. I'd like to thank you, colleagues, for your interest. Thanks for having joined us today. Have a nice day and see you soon.